Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Do you like sports? 'Cause we like sports. Let's talk about sports. It's Sport Shack. Sport Shack. It's Sport Shack.
Welcome to episode 322 of the Sports Yak podcast.
You mean the Sam Rice episode.
Sam Rice.
Sam Rice out of Morocco, Indiana. That's down in Newton County, Corey, just a little bit outside of our listening area. And Sam Rice played for the Washington Senators for almost his entire big league career. He had a .322 batting average, but in doing some deep dive on Sam Rice, this guy's very lucky he ever made it to the major leagues. Didn't make it to the major leagues until the age of 25. He started in minor league baseball in Galesburg, Illinois. His first year in minor league baseball, he gets summoned back to the family farm because his wife, his two kids, his mother, his two sisters, and his dad were all killed in a tornado on April 21st. Of 1912. So he goes back, he buries them, he kind of gets back into his big league career, and then he gets summoned into the U.S. Navy in 1914. And 2 days to the day that his family is killed in this tornado, he finds himself ducking and dodging bullets in the Battle of Veracruz in Mexico. Manages to survive that, goes to the big leagues as a pitcher, isn't making it as a pitcher, but the manager of Washington says, "We like you as a hitter. Do you think you could learn how to play the outfield?" "Yes, yes, I can." And 2,973 hits later, Sam Rice finds himself in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Fascinating.
So, episode 322 to the late but great Sam Rice.
Family Broadcasting Corporation.
Well, the crowd's going wild.
In association with the Studio DNA Podcast Network, presents Sports Yak.
Oh my heavens!
One host knows sports.
And who's right there?
The other doesn't know sports, but somehow they meet in the middle.
It's all the way!
Here's your host, Corey Mann.
Get your big butt out of here.
And Indiana Sports Broadcast Hall of Famer.
This one will be relived.
Chuck Freebie.
Forever.
You know, since you started us with baseball, why don't we start with baseball ourselves? Why don't we talk Cubs?
All right. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot to unpack with the Chicago Cubs. They are now above 500 after a 5-2 win over the Washington Nationals yesterday. Ian Happ, who has struggled for the first 6 weeks of the season, of course, got injured in a collision with Nico Horner, comes back from that injury, and since coming back from that injury, he's been red hot. He had two homers yesterday. He's had, I think, five homers in his last seven games, and swinging a good bat. The Cubs are actually third in the National League in runs scored, and their bullpen has been spectacular. They just finished a four-game set with the Washington Nationals, where I think the bullpen threw about 17 innings of shutout baseball. Now, that's a lot of stress on your bullpen. And that's probably the biggest flaw with the Chicago Cubs right now. Their starters barely, if ever, go more than five innings. And I don't know if they can keep that up through the course of the season and be good. Yesterday, it was Trevor Williams. Got rocked around the first inning, managed to work his way through about 4 2/3, but had thrown a lot of pitches and was in a stressful situation. David Ross goes to his bullpen, turns to Justin Steele, and the young left-hander does a terrific job coming out of the pen. Cubs are still banged up. Jason Hayward just went on the 10-day injured list yesterday. but they're getting terrific pitching out of this bullpen. And let's face it, guys like Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez are starting to round into form. But I thought that would bring up an interesting question today, Corey, that I will bounce off of you. We're going to play a little game called Keep Him, Maybe, or Cut Him Loose.
Wow.
Because all three of these guys that I'm going to mention to you are going to be free agents at the end of the year.
Okay.
You probably don't have enough money to keep all three. So if you're going to prioritize, must keep, likely keep, and cut them loose.
Okay.
Anthony Rizzo.
We're 21 and 21 this part of the season?
21 and 20.
Okay.
Or 22 and 21, I should say.
Are we actually at the halfway point? Or
No. We just passed the quarter pole.
Quarter pole. Okay.
Yeah.
Rizzo.
But we're talking about at the end of the year, if you're the Chicago Cubs,
mm-hmm.
unquestionably keep him, try to keep him, cut him loose. Anthony Rizzo,
mm-hmm.
Chris Bryant, Javier Baez.
Oh, boy.
What are you going to do?
Those three. Mm-hmm. May I ask a question about each one? How long
Please
have they
do.
Been with the Cubs? How long has each one been with the Cubs?
Rizzo since 2014. Bryant since 2015. I think that's when Baez came up, too, was 2015.
What do you think the value of a team leader is despite terrific play? Like having a specific personality in the dugout, in the locker room?
I think team chemistry is important.
I would say, according to the way you labeled it, definitely keep Rizzo, think about Baez, cut loose Bryant.
I would definitely keep Rizzo. And the reason I would definitely keep Rizzo is I look at first baseman in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And defensively, Anthony Rizzo is a gold glove first baseman. I think he's won 4 gold gloves as a first baseman. He gives you offensive production. He's unquestionably the clubhouse leader of this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there are a ton of better first basemen in the game than Anthony Rizzo. I think Freddie Freeman's better down in Atlanta. I think Brandon Belt with the Giants is better. I think Jose Abreu is better with the White Sox. So while Anthony Rizzo might be the second best first baseman in Chicago, I still think he's one of the best first basemen in the game.
When I see highlights of him, they're almost like, no, that's a Golden Glove highlight right there. Some of the stuff he does.
He makes a lot of great plays on pop-ups, but I'll tell you what, he makes a lot of great plays on throws to first base that if you watch him every day, I think you appreciate them more than if you would see him like if you were watching a team that came into Wrigley,
yeah,
and you only saw him 6 times a year. So I would put Rizzo as my must keep. I would put Bryant as my try to keep. I think he has made adjustments this year, especially in his swing, his versatility in the field, the fact that he can pretty much play, I don't know, almost 7 of the 9 positions in the field. I think there's a great value for that too, because you can keep him in the lineup and rotate a bunch of different other people, and it doesn't seem to affect his offense whatsoever. And Baez, even though I like Javi and he makes some terrific plays, and I think he's a wonderful player, if I have to choose between the three, he's the one I'm cutting loose.
Okay.
But those are the kind of decisions Jed Hoyer is going to have to make at the end of this year, if not beforehand, because there's still a lot of talk that the Cubs might try to trade Chris Bryant while he's got terrific value in order to build up the farm system and get prospects. You know, this is the first time I can remember in a while, Corey, that the Cubs actually have pitchers that have come up through their farm system and really contributed to the ball club. You've got Adbert Alzolay, who spent some time here in South Bend, who looks like he's going to be a fixture in the starting rotation for a while. You've got Keegan Thompson and Justin Steele and Ryan Tepera, and all these guys are guys that came up through the farm system. If you look at the Cubs bullpen that they had in that 2016 season, none of those guys were guys that came up through the farm system.
Mm.
So that's one area where Theo Epstein made a difference. They are in the process of rebuilding the farm system. It's not necessarily the deepest farm system, but it's a pretty decent one right now. And if you can get some more of those kind of players for Chris Bryant, who's going to turn, I believe, 29 this year. Now, 29 is far from being on the shelf. You still got a lot of baseball to be played. Do you consider that trade, or do you look at Chris Bryant and say, no, this is a guy that we need to build around in the future?
You know, I caught the start of the game yesterday, and recognizable names on the team, and the one you just said within the bullpen. This is the most we've seen out of South Bend right now.
Oh, no question. And P.J. Higgins just got called up to the ball club a couple days ago. He's the first catcher ever for the South Bend Cubs to play for the Chicago Cubs.
Wow.
So the farm system starting to make a difference for the Cubs, and it's noticeable. The White Sox, as dysfunctional as they remain, still got a nice win from Lucas Giolito on Wednesday and beat the Twins 2-1. They had the day off yesterday. They start a three-game series in New York with the Yankees tonight. That should be an interesting series to watch, with those two teams that could very well see each other during the playoffs going head-to-head. And the Tigers, my goodness, they finished off a three-game sweep of Seattle on Wednesday with a 6-2 win. Kid named Eric Haas, what a first week in the major leagues he's had. Had a two-home run game and caught a no-hitter from Spencer Turnbull. So not bad for your first week in the bigs.
Probably played a hot round of Mariner or Olympian in the locker room as well.
Should have. Because obviously that game swept the nation.
I was going to say it swept the nation. It became a viral sensation.
It should have. And if it didn't, that's the nation's fault. That shows a shoddiness in the nation if that didn't get picked up. Notre Dame baseball is playing well right now. They got a complete game last night out of John Michael Bertrand in Blacksburg and beat the Hokies of Virginia Tech 8-2. So Link Jarrett's team looks like it's going to be the number one seed for the ACC tournament. And when Link met with the media Wednesday, one of the things he talked about is when you're the number one seed for the ACC tournament, you kind of get to pick and choose like what dates you want to play, etc.
Really?
Now, he doesn't know the other two teams yet that are going to be in their pod. The way the ACC does it, there's 12 teams in the tournament. You break it down into a three-team pod. So it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, and then it comes back around. So 4 would play 5, 3 would play 6. So Notre Dame being the 1, they would play an 8 seed, and then they would get the 12 seed as well. So that said, Link wants to see who the other two teams are that fall into that 8 and 12 seed. And all they have to do is go 1-1 in their round robin with them to move on to the Final Four of the ACC tournament. But you get to kind of set up your pitching and pick your days, when you're going to play and when you're not. So it'll be an interesting situation because there's no Notre Dame team that has played in the ACC that has been in that luxurious of a situation before. And we'll see what kind of decisions Link makes. This has been a really good team to watch. And the NCAA came out with the announcement the other day that they're willing to go to 100% capacity on their regional sites if local health officials allow it. Now, we know that Notre Dame has not allowed anybody on campus outside of students and staff and parents. Nobody's been allowed to come to games. Will that change when Notre Dame gets to host an NCAA tournament game, we'll have to wait and see.
Are you allowed to take a stroll on campus, or is that forbidden?
You can take a stroll on campus, and you don't even have to wear a mask, but you can't attend a sporting event.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And then Notre Dame softball begins its NCAA tournament play today as they take on Miami of Ohio down at the Kentucky Regional. The other two teams in that regional are Kentucky, featuring the Bremen slugger Aaron Koffel, and Northwestern. So if Notre Dame wins today and Kentucky wins today, as would be expected, then those two teams would meet in the winner's bracket tomorrow at noon, and that game, I believe, would be televised on either ESPN2 or ESPNU. So something to keep an eye on if you're a fan not only of the Irish, but a fan of seeing some of the former local stars play.
South Bend Cubs and Dayton, two games. Are they in town, Chuck?
Yeah, they are in town. They're in the middle of a stretch where they play 12 games in 13 days, and they're all at home.
Wow.
So Joe Hart and his folks down at the Cove, very busy. They had replica ring night on Wednesday night where they gave away replicas of their Midwest League championship rings. And the line for that began about 1 in the afternoon.
Really?
Yeah, there were some fans who really wanted to make sure they were in the first, because it was only the first 1,000 that came through the gates. So there were some fans that wanted to make sure that they got their replica ring. I'll admit, those were nice looking gifts.
You didn't head over to the ballpark that night?
Well, no, I was busy. I had
were you?
I had things going on.
Things. You want to jump into baseball? I'm sorry, we did baseball. You want to jump into basketball?
Let's, because the Indiana Pacers made a big deal last year about Nate McMillan. He was a moderately successful head coach of the Pacers. But the knock on Nate McMillan was, well, he's not able to get us out of the first round of the playoffs. I mean, we make the playoffs, but then we can't get out of the first round. And it's just, it's disappointing, and we want more than that. So we're going to bring in Nate Bjorkgren. That's right, Nate Bjorkgren. And he's going to turn things around. Except this year, the Pacers didn't even make the playoffs, so they didn't have to worry about getting out of the first round. They were eliminated last night in the final play-in game in the Eastern Conference by Washington, and it wasn't even close, 142-115. Russell Westbrook, who is having a magnificent year in the NBA, had 18 points and 15 assists. And so the Pacers find themselves sitting on the sidelines after a season of injuries and dysfunction. And there's been a lot of question as to whether Nate Bjorkgren will be invited back for a second season at the helm of the Pacers. Apparently, he's had all kinds of communication problems in the locker room with his players. So, to me, it's not the coaching. I think the Pacers are woefully under-talented to compete in an Eastern Conference that has really built itself back up since LeBron James went to the L.A. Lakers. The Eastern Conference became more wide open. Of course, Brooklyn brought in Harden. They brought in Kyrie. They brought in KD. And so they would appear to be the favorites to emerge from the Eastern Conference in the playoffs. Philadelphia has Joel Embiid, who's up for the MVP honor in the NBA. They've got Ben Simmons. They're loaded with talent. Pacers aren't anywhere close to that right now. Tonight is the final play-in game in the Western Conference. You've got Golden State. Steph Curry is up for the NBA MVP honor. He'll take on Ja Morant in Memphis. I think most people expect the Warriors to win that game, to be the eighth seed in the West and have to take on Utah in the NBA playoffs. And the thing about the teams in the Western Conference play-in games with the Lakers and the Warriors, you've got teams there that people think actually have a legitimate shot of winning in the playoffs. Whereas in the East, I don't think anybody looks at Washington or Boston right now and says, oh yeah, they're a huge threat to go the distance in the Eastern Conference.
What time does Golden State play Memphis? tonight at 9 o'clock. Well, it's a Friday.
It's
I might
Friday.
Be able to pull a little bit
up.
Of that off. Yeah. I know a 14-year-old that would get into watching that, so.
Yeah, okay. It should be a fun game to watch.
Okay.
And that will be at the Oracle in California.
The Oracle.
Golf is in the middle of one of its majors right now. They're playing down in South Carolina. A young man by the name of Corey Connors out of Canada had the first round lead of 5 under par, but a pack of golfers behind him, 2 strokes off the pace at 3 under, including Brooks Koepka, who I think a lot of people look at and say, this is a guy that can is a threat in any major. He's had 2 U.S. Open championships. He's done a great job rebuilding his career. And then Phil Mickelson sits there, 3 strokes off the pace. I mean, this guy is...
It feels like he's been playing since the beginning of golf.
he's well on the approach to 50 and still very competitive on the PGA Tour. And, of course, anybody who watches any PGA major this year realizes with Tiger on the sidelines, that just kind of takes a little bit of the sparkle off all these tournaments. But should be an interesting weekend for the golf fans to watch down in South Carolina. High school scene yesterday, very busy day with lots of tournament activity. Penn dominated its own sectional. They scored over 200 points as a team. I think we've talked about this young man before. Vinny Nierzwicki is a hurdler for Penn. He is also a high jumper. He had 3 first places yesterday. They've got a sprinter by the name of JoJo Williams, who's fun to watch. He won 3 races and finished 2nd in the long jump. And Coach John Carroll's Kingsmen had no problems distancing themselves from the pack in their own sectional. Now, the really competitive sectional was down at Goshen yesterday. Northridge ekes out a 5-point victory over Elkhart, although Elkhart, I believe, had 7 different champions in that event. Elkhart has a young man by the name of Derek Woods. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago.
He can run.
Football player. Won the 100, 200, and also was part of the 4x100 relay team. Jadavian Eccles won a hurdle event. They've just got talent in the sprints that is probably the best group of sprinters we've seen around here in a long time. But Northridge has a young man that named Carter Bach, who's very good in the shot and the discus. And they were able to rack up enough points with their depth where they wind up beating Elkhart 122-117. So congratulations to the Raiders on that. Girls tennis has hit the tournament level. St. Joe lost 2 games in 2 days in tennis. Remember, a set is 6 games, 2 sets, 12 games. So they played, they had 5 different groups play 2 sets a day. So in the course of 20 sets, they lost a total of 2 games in the South Bend sectional.
Did I see that they got a new athletic director?
Yes, they brought in a young man, or not a young man, an older man named Stephen Anthony from Michigan State. He was an associate athletic director up there. I'm not sure if he has family in the area or why he would leave East Lansing to come here, leave a college as an associate athletic director to come to a high school and be an athletic director. But yes, they did that.
Okay.
So girls tennis sectionals yesterday, St. Joe wins. Penn wins its 14th sectional in a row. Northridge wins. And Fairfield wins a 3-2 match over Northwood. What a job the Falcons have done this year putting together an undefeated season. And let's not forget about our friends north of the border. Edwardsburg, for the 5th time in 6 years, is going to the state finals in tennis and its division, Division 2. And Brandywine is going to the state finals in tennis in Division 3 after winning a regional up there. So
nice.
Good weeks by all of those teams. Weekend, you got big plans?
I'm told we're going to dinner with some friends on Saturday. I'm hoping we just get outside a lot. Got the yard work done yesterday, so trying to make some space for some rest.
Now,
you?
Going into the weekend, I hope to monitor the voting today for the One Hit Wonder Contest. In case you missed it, yesterday It was Bobby McFerrin and Don't Worry, Be Happy, pulling out a decent-sized victory, not a landslide as we had seen in the first three, but a decent-sized victory over Hanson and Mbop.
Mm-hmm.
But today...
Let's actually review the week real quick. Kung Fu Fighting, I would say a landslide.
Yes.
Versus David Soul's Don't Give Up on Us.
And it should have been that way, trust me.
Afternoon Delight put a beating on I Just Died in Your Arms by Cutting Crew earlier in the week. Don't You Forget About Me, way over Black Velvet by Alana Miles. Was that our opening of
the
week?
That was the opener.
Yeah. And so today, we will give you the lineup, Mr. Dave, at Mr. Dave. Those of us that are millennials really need the attached YouTube videos. Would there be a way to sample the songs on the podcast? To which I say to you, Mr. Dave, yes. Today, Chuck Freebie.
Yes.
It's Criss Cross and their only number one song. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, didn't they have a hit with I Missed the Bus or Warm It Up? No. No, they didn't. They are taking on the... musical stylings of Van McCoy. Van McCoy. A lot of words in this one.
Well, they're coming up here in just a second. Do the hustle. Do the hustle. One of the great flute songs of our time.
This song was already in the mix, and someone said, you know what this song needs?
More flute.
So on Twitter, at Sportjack with 2Ks, you can vote. Which one is the better of those one-hit wonders? Criss Cross and Jump from the late 80s, early 90s, or The Hustle, which was, I think, smack dab middle of that disco era.
That was 1975, yeah.
Which was then would be over in a hot minute.
But Jump with the early lead.
Yeah?
You could say they've had a quick jump on The Hustle.
Nice. Very nice.
Do you have anything for overrated, underrated today?
I don't, Chuck. I'm sorry.
Neither do I.
I've come unprepared.
We're going to make it a short episode on this Friday for you all and tell you that there won't be an episode on Monday. I have another matter that I have to tend to on Monday. In fact, we're going to probably be a little sporadic here over the next couple of weeks because you've got vacation coming up as well after Memorial Day.
Yeah. Conference I'm attending for the week, yes. So, but we'll still tweet out the poll. We'll keep that rolling right along. The people seem to like
it. You mean you'll be in contact with me?
I will.
Okay.
We will be in communique.
Very good.
You're on Twitter, right?
I am. Still without the blue check mark at 46 Sports, although I understand that Twitter is taking steps, not personally for me. They don't care about me.
There's movement.
But there's movement on the blue check mark front.
Mm-hmm. I'm on there as well. Sports Yak with 2Ks. Also, my name is Corey. Until next time, Yak fans.
Oogalooga, Sam Rice. I got nothing.
We've had some fun, yeah, the show is done. Now we gotta run. It's Sport Check, Sport Check. Sport Check is not filmed in front of a live studio audience. We done.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.